turn you to the second book of Kings, chapter 19. I have a word upon my heart. It's not so much in connection of the matters or the subjects that have been before us in the conference, but I think it's not inappropriate after the word that we have just had from our brother Stettler. We learned doctrines and principles in our readings together, and they are very good and we should learn them. But I don't think that we should go away from this conference without something of a real practical nature. And that's what our brother Stettler has been giving us already. So may I read to you the second book of Kings, chapter 19. I'll just read a few verses to get the context of what the verses are about. God is angry with Judah and the and of Jerusalem. And he says, because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come out, this is verse 28, is come up unto mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year such things as grow of themselves, and in the second year that which springeth of the same. And in the third year sow ye and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. I just want to take those few words in verse 30, perhaps out of context with what we have here, but I think pertinent to ourselves. Jehovah says, the Lord says, take root downward and bear fruit upward. I'm no gardener. In fact, I don't like gardening. But I do know that if you're going to have blooms on your flowers or apples or trees on your apple trees or anything to show in the foliage, you've got to have a root that is well established in the ground. I say I'm no gardener. I have a couple of little patches at home, and I've got a very lovely daughter who comes and looks after it for me. And the last time she came, which was a few months ago now, she put a few sweet peas in. And she said, now make sure you keep them watered, which I did. They didn't do a thing at all. They came up, they practically died instantly. And I remember she said to me, she said, that ground there is, what was it, powder dry. It was like planting it in soil that was of no use at all. So the roots did not get any depth at all, and neither did any fruit or flowers or sweet peas appear. One remembers the story, or not the story, the parable of the sower, seed that fell on the rocky ground where there was no depth of earth, took root for just a little while, but then faded away. Now, brethren, what I have in my mind this evening is, do we want to bear fruit upward? And I trust that we would all say yes to that. We want to be of some service to Christ. We want to be of some testimony for him, as our brother has exhorted. We want to not see for ourselves, but we want to see fruit appearing. Well, if that's to be the case, then I say that there's got to be root downward. And so we ask the question is, where are our roots? Now, if we were to turn to John chapter 15, there we have the great chapter, I suppose, on fruit bearing. What does the Lord say? I am the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now this is the word, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then a little later on in the chapter, in verse 16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. There are a lot of preachers and expositors who try and use this verse to prove the doctrine of election, but that's not right. I have chosen you, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. For what purpose? And ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. God, the Lord had chosen these disciples, you will remember them. He goes along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and there he sees fishermen, Peter and Andrew, John and James. There were no doubt of many other fishermen along there doing their various fishermen's tasks. But he chose out these. For what purpose? That they might bear fruit. And that is the purpose of the Lord for us all, if we are his disciples, because we could surely take those verses to ourselves. I have chosen you to bring forth fruit. And earlier he had said, you can only bring forth fruit if ye abide in me. And those verses, or that exhortation, deserves a bit of consideration, does it not? What does it mean to abide in Christ? We receive Christ as our Saviour, we own him, honour him as our Lord. But what does it mean to abide in him? And I couldn't help but think of the first chapter of John. You remember the two disciples who heard John speak, and then they turned aside and they followed the Lord. And when they got near to him, they asked him where he lived. Or he really asked them, what seek ye? And they were too timid to answer that specifically. They said, where do you live? He said, come and see. How gracious. Come and see. And they went with him. He took them to his home or where he was staying, and it says it was the 10th hour, and they abode with him that day. Now you brethren who study the times of scriptures can tell me how long they stayed with him. I'm not sure, but it sounds a long time. The 10th hour must be quite an advanced hour, even perhaps into the next day, I don't know. The point is, they abode with him. Not exactly abiding in him, but abiding with him. And I cannot help but feel that there's a connection between the two. You just think of it, brothers and sisters. Here is these two disciples. Who are they with? They're with the Son of God. They're in the presence of the Lord, the Saviour. They'd heard him speak. They'd been captured by what he had to say. They were enthralled with him. And here they have the privilege of spending time with him. What did they talk about? Well, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't the Lord who did most of the talking. Remember how he spoke to those two on the way to Emmaus. I expect he spoke to them about John the Baptist and what John was preaching. I expect he told them why he had come. Perhaps he told them even of what was in front of him. I don't know. But here were two who were abiding with the Lord. And I would suggest that we ought to know, or we should know, and we should desire to know more of what that exactly means, to abide with him. Because if you don't abide with him, you won't bring any fruit. There won't be any fruit upwards because your roots are not in the right place downwards. Let our roots, if I can use the phrase, be first of all in Christ. There's another thing that I do know about plants. My daughter told me, water those sweet peas, she said. We've got to water the plant, and the water has got to get down to the roots. Scripture has water in Scripture has a meaning. It has more than one meaning. It has an allusion or a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Lord said that the Spirit was not yet come because he was not yet glorified. When he was glorified, he sent the Spirit to indwell the disciples. And this is always a remarkable conception that I have, that we have a divine person indwelling us. The Spirit of God takes up residence in these bodies of ours. But the apostle in the Ephesian epistle, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And I would suggest that if we're going to bear fruit upward, our roots downward, and again, I say it reverently, our roots should be in the Spirit of God. There should be freedom for him to operate. Our brother, in his opening prayer, he said that there should be leadership and that we should not, I'm not quite sure the word he used, but to quench the Spirit. That not only applies in the assembly when you take perhaps a public position, but in any of our actions, our walk, our ways, if the Spirit is guiding us, if we know what it is to be led by him, and we don't do it, then we're drying up the roots. There's no root downwards, and there cannot be good fruit upwards. And then I think of the Word of God itself. Again, this is another conception of water in the Scriptures, washing of water by the Word. You don't water the plant, the roots don't get thoroughly soaked, not just spreading it on the top. If the roots get thoroughly soaked, there'll be no fruit upward. And I would suggest then, brethren, that our roots have got to be firmly established in the Word of God. What a wonderful book this is. The more I read it, and I expect it's your experience too, the more you read it, the more you realize that this is no ordinary book. It could never have been written by man. It's God's book. It's God's word. It's God's word to you and to me. Tells us all that he wants us to know. And here it is for us to read, to take in, to learn, to understand. And if we do that, then we are going to have our roots established, strong and deep, and there will be a resultant fruit upward. All these things go together, of course. And thinking of that, not only to have our roots downward in the Word of God, but I would suggest, brethren, we can go a step further and say that our roots ought to be well grounded in the doctrines of Scripture. I expect many of us have got a calendar that we read every morning, Choice Gleanings or Lord is Near, very nice words on them, but it's in them, you know, just 100 words or so. And how many households there are, I'm not going to say they're yours, but how many households there are of Christians who at the minute, morning in the morning, or perhaps sometime during the day, they take their calendar, they read the text at the top, and they read the words that come underneath, they put it aside, that is that. And the Bible is not taken up again until the next day. Let's not get taking root downward. Taking root downward is assimilating what is here in God's word. And there are so many things that he wants us to know and to understand. At the Bible reading at Newcastle the night before that we came up here, I was able to go there. I don't live in Newcastle, as you know. But they were reading, or we were reading, the second chapter of the first epistle of John. And there you will read, and you will remember it quite well, of the fathers, and of the young men, and of the children, the little children. And that seems, I think, and it's usually accepted, that it's an indication of spiritual growth. The Spirit only has the same words to say to the fathers, half a dozen, twice they're men, giants in the land, certainly giants in the faith. But with the young men, there's a rather long discourse. One of the things he commends them on is that they abode in the Word. I think that that's the expression that is used there. They were grounded in the Word. They were only growing up, but they had their roots in the right place. And as they progressed, those roots would go deeper. With the children, I think it says that they knew the Word, but they were only children. Well, I don't know where I stand or you stand in the category, so to speak. I would hesitate to claim myself to be a father, barely a young man. But we want to be established. The deeper doctrines of Scripture. We all know what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Wonderful! Certainly the first thing that we should know. But then we go on. Surely we want to know more of these things. The deeper things that God would teach us. You think of, again, I refer to our little companies that we represent. What was brought out in the last century? I think that the teaching of the second coming of Christ had been lost for centuries, not spoken about. But those dear men, they studied the Scriptures, their roots went down, and God revealed these things to them. And they were able to bring forth fruit by making these things known to others. You and I are the beneficiaries of it. That's just one of the doctrines. And then again, dear brothers and sisters, I should say that we need to be not only established in the doctrine of the assembly, but to be in the assembly. Have our roots in the assembly. How easy it is to go along to the meeting and that's about all. Down at Catford, we used to have an expression, SMOs. Do you know what SMOs are? Sunday morning only. Sunday morning only. And it was true, sad to say, nice brothers, nice sisters, true and earnest. The only time you saw them was on the Lord's Day morning. Thank God for that. But what about the other times when the assembly gathers together? What about the times when we meet for prayer? When we meet for the reading of the Scriptures, when we meet on occasions such as this, have our roots in the assembly and in the fellowship of the assembly. I always love the verse in the first of John, our fellowship is one another, and it's with the Lord, and it's with the Father, but it's with one another. And how dare we neglect the exhortations to be in one another's company, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. These are scriptural exhortations. I won't go on. I don't know that I've got very much more to say. But the thought, dear brothers and sisters, is taking root downward, where it's not seen. But if we do that, then we'll be bearing fruit upward. And that will be for the glory of the Lord. May it be so for his